shut up and sit down.
Good evening,
everyone. Welcome out to the vicious rants and pisses.
I'm your host, Mr. Man of the Tinsel. Y'all never take it over. Hey, it's since I've been vicious, gonna go over the Elimination Chamber. Was it Perth, Australia? Yes, I was one of those crazy bastards that got up at like 5 a.m. Eastern Time to go and watch the show live, because there's just something about watching wrestling live as opposed to pre-tape that just so much better. Now, before we do, folks, big news I want to break, and it is in regards to the show, and man, I'm just so excited, I'm at a loss for words. Vicious Rants itself has grown exponentially over the course of the past few years. We got merchandise line, like you see right here that I am wearing, at which you can pick up at whatamaneuver.net. We are now part of the Main Event Wrestling Network. We are now available in audio form as a podcast on Podomatic, Amazon Music, Spotify, we're iHeartRadio, Deezer. We're still waiting on the go-ahead from Apple Podcasts. And folks, I can now proudly say that Vicious Rants is getting its own spin-off series. That's right, coming soon, we are going to be doing a spin-off series called Vicious Chats. It's going to be a talk show which is fully available on the YouTube page as well as in podcast form. Stay tuned. Got guests lined up. If you are interested in wanting to be on the show itself, hit me up on my Twitter at Tim Vicious or leave a comment down below. I'm always open to hearing anyone's stories. So, let's get into the show. Elimination Chamber, Perth, Australia. For the first time in what feels like forever, and I cannot emphasize that enough, forever, we actually had a kickoff show match. We had a pre-show match. Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae going against the Kabuki Warriors, baby. Ooh, baby, it's a little Kabuki-ish, if you will. Asuka. And Kairi Sane, and man, it was great seeing Indy get the home, getting a welcome home kind of cheer for her. And not only that, between this and the first match on the main show, there's just something about seeing a wrestling show in natural daylight, as opposed to like big bright LED lights like the one I got. You know, I'm trying to think the way to describe it. It's kind of like it. I don't know on how to describe it. I wish I could. I'm at a loss for words. But honest to goodness, man, just seeing wrestling in natural daylight as opposed to like stadium light or LED light, it's just so much more better. So, Indy and Candice. It was a good, solid start. Like I said, Indy, she got the hometown welcome. Candice was the punching bag for a good bit. Not much of a surprise there. Indy got the hot tag. The crowd roared for it, because especially with the We Want Indy chants. Not much of a surprise. Asuka and Kairi got the win. Kairi doing the insane elbow onto Candice, which honestly made the most sense, because I guarantee if they would have had Indy get the pin, whew, it would have been a bad start. So with that said, that was the kickoff match. Now let's get into the main show. The women, starting off with the women's Elimination Chamber match, Bianca Belair, Raquel Rodriguez, Tiffany Stratton, Liv Morgan, Naomi, and the man herself, Becky Lynch. And wow, this was good. Wow. Lots of quick... Now, Naomi and Becky started out the chamber. A lot of quick pin attempts right at the start. I dug it, and, you know, it was good. Especially, I absolutely love the fact on how the crowd was all behind Tiffany once she got in. She was the first, she was in, she came in next, or not next, but she was the first one to get brought in, and the crowd was all behind her. You know, Liv came in next. Naomi was actually the first to be eliminated, which was a shock to me. I didn't think she was going to be the first eliminated. Honestly, I have my money on Liv or Raquel being the first eliminated. But, I'm that guy that gets happy when they're proven wrong. Like, whoa, okay. I'm weird like that. I'm happy when I'm proven wrong because I learn. I learn from it, folks. Which is what a lot of y'all may want to do. Either way, excuse me. Raquel, she came in second. She came in literally seconds after Naomi. Like, Naomi, one, two, three. Naomi is out of the match. Four, three, two, one, and Raquel is in. So, yeah. Bianca Wanta was the last in. Bianca wound up becoming the last one in. Gotta say, and at Tiffany, when Tiffany was eliminated, the crowd got all sorts of hot and mad at Liv Morgan over that and was doing bullshit chants to her, which, honestly, it cracked me up because it angered some of the angry Liv Morgan fangirls on my Twitter timeline, and... Well, it's been a minute since I've seen them get angry, and I forgot on how funny that is. Does that make me wrong? Kind of think it does. Wade, put the phone down. Quit playing Galaga on your phone. We got work to do. This is what I get for having this kind of a producer. So either way, when Tiffany Stratton got eliminated, man, the crowd got mad on her. They're behind her. And, you know, I have personal guesses saying Naomi and Tiffany were going to be the standouts. Now, unfortunately, I was only half right on that. Tiffany, she did get the standout. And by God, did she establish herself not just for being on the main roster now, but for being on the main roster and for being a main player. Not saying she's main event yet, but she's a main player. She still needs some time on the mic for the main roster. And the reason for that is simple. While I watch NXT, and a majority of people I know watch NXT, we are not the entire world. We are not just the main roster audience. NXT is, for lack of a better term, the minor leagues, the farm league, if you want to go into baseball terms. Not everyone watches the farm leagues. So, when you bring up a talent from the minors, developmental NXT, you're going to have to establish them. How? Put them in matches, give them mic time, show a few vignettes here and there, things like that. And that's what they're doing. They gave Tiff mic time. They showed Tiff at the Rumble. They showed Tiff at Chamber. And I guarantee they're going to be showing her between now and Mania. Whether she has a match at Mania, I don't know. Chances are she's probably going to be in the Women's Battle Royal. However, I can see her maybe in a women's title match at Backlash. So, yeah. Now that I'm done going on that Tiffy time bit, let's get back to the match. Raquel wound up coming out. Raquel was wound up getting taken out by Bianca. And then came the match. It was, all in all, it was a good match. I dug it. I thought it was good. It set the tempo for the rest of the show. Match came to an end. Liv wound up taking out Bianca Belair. And then Becky wound up giving a manhandle slam to Liv almost immediately after she eliminated Bianca. So it's set. Becky Lynch is going to be challenging the winner of Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax, which we will get into momentarily. So with that said, next matchup, we got tag team action. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne going against Damian Priest and Finn Balor. And Bate and Dunne right out the gate before the bell go and throw fists right at Priest and Balor. It was good. Now, Tyler, he wound up being the punching bag for a little bit. And man, it was fucking cool. Because at one point, they actually had to cut the camera and go to black. Because Dominic, who was ringside, wound up getting booed and yelled at and had the crowd giving the finger to him. They were all flipping him off and were like yelling asshole to him, to Dominic, to the point, see, I'm so excited I'm fumbling over myself. It was just, wow. I loved it. I thought it was great. Yep. Now, Pete, he wound up getting a hot tag in, and then little after he did the hot tag action, had some good solid back and forth. Match came to an end when Priest did a double South of Heaven off the second rope, and then Finn did the coup de grace on the Pete Dunne, got the 1-2-3. So, yeah. Following that, on Monday, they wound up showing Gunther and Imperium out there. Gunther saying, who is next to challenge me? I've seen you all go and say, it should be Sami Zayn. It should be Chad Gable. It should be this. It should be that. Then who? Then out came Judgment Day, and Priest was saying, you know, Judgment Day, we made it clear. We want all the gold. That includes what you got, big man. And then Gunther's looking at him, smug, cocky, full of himself, as he should, because he's a big, big mean bastard. Excuse me. Saying point blank, well, you're not cashing in on me, so it's obviously not you. So who's it going to be? You, pointing to Finn. Big head over here, talking about JD. Who's it going to be? Then Dominic stepped in front of Priest. And then in the immortal words of Pat Patterson, they went banana! Yeah. It looks like we're going to get Dominic versus Gunther at WrestleMania, which I'm all for. Because that's going to be one hell of a good match right there. Now, before we get into the next match, I don't normally talk about promos or shows or interview segments, but they did a Grayson Waller effect at the Elimination Chamber show, which had Cody and Seth there. First things first, Seth said in a matter of days he's going to be medically cleared to be able to compete in matches again. And then Waller wound up hitting the one question, why'd you go and do your take back? You were going to give the match to The Rock and then decided not to. And just as Cody was about to explain it, so you guys want to know why I was all for giving it to The Rock and then not? And then, let me tell you. And then Austin Theory, who was there with him, wound up saying something, like, started going running his mouth, started doing the rock shtick because, you know, he was there when The Rock wound up getting all those multi-million hits in that segment with him, McAfee, and The Rock. So, yeah, he calls himself the million hit man and all that. Wound up doing his bit, and then next thing you know, as he's doing, if you smell, and then next thing you know, boom! Cody and Seth take him both out, and Waller's just standing there looking like, oh. And for those who don't remember or weren't paying attention, keep in mind, that Friday beforehand, Roman had a sit-down with Grayson Waller. So, chances are he told him, if they do something, you don't lift a finger. Just keep that in mind, folks. So, yeah. Cody wound up explaining on Raw to mind savior Paul Heyman, who had quote-unquote New York police officers with him that were suspended, but Cody wound up saying, you want to know why I haven't gone after The Rock? You want to know why I challenged The Rock? I forgot to mention that part. I was so caught up about the beatdown. But Cody issued a challenge saying he's willing to fight The Rock anywhere, anytime. Cody said, you want to know why I haven't gone off on The Rock? Why I haven't attacked Dwayne despite him calling me and my fans crybabies, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah? Because... just like him, I grew up where my next meal came from how many tickets my dad sold. So, I get where he come. So, we're cut from that same cloth. But nah, he wants to go. He wants to take from me now. I'm not doing this. And so, yeah. Then Cody wound up saying to Paul, you can call Roman, you can call Rock, but at the end of the day, they need to know. The bloodline's not hunting me. I'm hunting them. So, yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm picturing now, if I was handling merch, you need to go and try and make a shirt that go like hunting for blood or something. Something like that. So, either way, now let's get into the Men's Elimination Chamber match. Kevin Owens, the almighty Bobby Lashley, the walking douche nozzle, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, and L.A. Knight. Yeah! Dummy, yeah. Drew and Knight started out the match really good. KO came in, started targeting Drew right off bat. Bobby then came in next and started targeting Drew. Noticed a lot of the attention went on to Drew McIntyre. Randy came in, and then once Randy came in, then it started to ensue into like the car crash kind of mode. Bobby Lashley, he was the first, or no, I'm sorry, I'm thinking ahead. Car crash kind of style ensued. When Logan Paul's time came in, Kevin, he jumped into Logan's pod and then just started wham, 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 smashing his face into the plexiglass. And, folks, I can't believe I'm going to say this, and it makes me feel a little sick to my stomach saying it, but I give credit where credit's due for Logan Paul in the sense of he was smart enough to know he's stuck in that pod for X amount of time, so he needed to do something to make himself noticed, make entertainment, because heaven forbid, in wrestling, you have to entertain your audience. So what did he do while he was still in that pod? He had a black Sharpie, and he made doodles. He drew horns and stood under them. I'm a devil, blah, 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 blah. Did that, wrote stuff like Kevin is a loser and drew a... and did like a six-year-old would, and just drew a circle with a tiny little head and tiny little arms and legs saying it was Kevin Owens. you know, all that, but yeah. I give credit where credit's due. He can work the ring. Logan Paul can work in the ring. He can work the microphone. He gets it. He gets the business and understands it's a work. But just because you can do all of that doesn't mean I have to like you. Doesn't mean I have to respect you. I can respect the work you do, but I ain't gotta respect you, the person. Uh-uh. No way. But yeah. KO, he came in, started going ballistic, car crash mode on him. Bobby Lashley wound up being the first to take out. And then, probably the biggest, there were two big surprise eliminations. The first came from LA Knight, yeah. And that was because of Uncle Allen himself, AJ Styles, showing up out of nowhere as Bobby Lashley got eliminated. The chamber door opens. Once that door opens, AJ, whoosh, runs in like a bat out of hell, starts going ballistic, beating the holy hell out of LA Knight with a chair, beating him mercifully. So, I swore up and down for weeks on end on this show that LA Knight was going to be challenging Logan Paul at WrestleMania. It looks like we're getting AJ Styles versus LA Knight instead at WrestleMania, which honestly, I'm not mad at. I'm not disappointed at whatsoever because both guys know on how to work and know on how to put on a good show. So, yeah. Randy winds up taking out Kevin Owens. And then Randy winds up getting taken out by Logan Paul via the setup. Randy winds up getting taken out by Logan Paul. When Logan Paul actually got eliminated, man, the crowd went ballistic. Let me tell you, like, yes! Because nobody wanted to see him win. Nobody in Australia wanted to see him win and challenge Seth. But when Paul, after he got eliminated, he then had a set of brass knucks, which makes you think, how did he get those knucks through customs? Unless he hit them up his, ooh. Well, that answers one question, but raises many, many more now about the man. Either way, he had a set of brass knucks, which I don't even want to question how he got them in. Now, popped Randy. Randy just then, boom, falls over, dead. He's dead. Then Drew, who's beaten half to death, drapes his arm over Randy Orton. One, two, three. So, my personal prediction now, based off of everything that I saw in that match, we're going to get AJ Styles versus LA Knight at Elimination Chamber. Or not Elimination, at WrestleMania. We're going to get Randy versus Logan at Mania also for in a title match. Whether Randy becomes U.S. champ again or not, I don't know. I got gotta wait and see on how the promos build up for that one. And now we have Drew McIntyre challenging Seth Elizabeth Rollins, because his middle name is not freaking damn it, for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Seth and Drew had a face-to-face on Raw, on the Fallout Raw, and they told it like it was. Drew said point blank, listen, I don't want you standing up and backing up Cody, because if you do, you're putting a target on your back for the bloodline to come after you. Your knee may not be at 100%. Your back is not at 100%. I want you at your best. So that way when I beat you and take that title, it is all me saying I did it and I beat you at your best. Seth then looked at him. It's like, you know, yeah. My knee may not be at 100%. My back may not be at its best. But what if it is? What if my knee's at 100? What if my back is feeling good and I'm feeling strong? See, here's the problem you're not taking into account, Drew. Here's your problem. The Bloodline, they just want power. While they're happy with what they got now, that's nothing saying sometime down the road, they're going to come for this title. Then what? You need to be ready for that, just like I am, which is why I'm looking to stop this fire before it even starts. So if you're not willing to do something about it, I am. So we're getting good, compelling story out of both guys and legitimate reasons for why they're doing what they're doing. And lordy, lordy, one of my favorite things about wrestling, I love stories out of it. I love storytelling. And this is one of the best forms of storytelling right here in pro wrestling. And I absolutely love it. We're getting good stories here tonight, folks. I'm putting it out there now. Smart money is on Drew McIntyre walking out as World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. So now we come to main event of the night. Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley. And, whew, man, oh, man, Rhea, she got praised like a freaking god. The second her music hit, you'd have thought it was the second coming. And you could see, if you have not seen the show, go back. If you haven't seen anything from this show, before you see anything else, just look at the ring introduction. When they do the ring introductions, you could see Rhea's face literally choking up, seeing her lips quiver a little, and just like in shock and awe, just hearing Perth go ballistic for her. Like, and it's just, wow. It was cool to see. It's cool to see, like, the little things like that, just that, wow, this is it, huh? This is really what it's like. This is it. This is awesome. Kind of bit for her. So as far as the match went, man, Nia, she was just kind of like leading it in the sense of as a dominant, mean, nasty powerhouse. And I had a conversation about this with some dudes before. When Nia was on her first run, she was like basically being built like a giant almost, kind of like a Big Show or an Andre for the women's division. Now she's being built almost like in a powerhouse sense, like a big boss in a big man way, like a boss man or a one man gang. Not in like a giant sense, but like as a powerhouse. Which honestly plays off a lot better for her. And Nia, she was leading at the start. They were doing the power game. And it was, anytime Rhea laid in a shot, the crowd was all for her. Anytime Nia was leading and dominating, the crowd was shitting all over Nia and cheering for Rhea to pull in, pull up, fight on. Rhea, she did, and by God, she got the win, hitting a superplex, and then did a riptide, got the 1-2-3, and man, the crowd was all for it. It was so great, and then afterwards, she got out, all of her family was ringside, went over, sat with all of them like, yes, and was singing her song along with everyone. It was great. And honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of these pay-per-views going overseas. You know, they got the one in France. They got one coming up in Berlin. I know they got Money in the Bank in Canada, but that's kind of tricky because that's still under North American territory, so, you know, it's not to be rude, but they're kind of regular, semi-regular. This is getting first time, I'm talking like untouched virgin territory for pay-per-views. I'm excited to see on how those crowds are. Honestly, I could see Australia getting a yearly or every other year pay-per-view. I think that'd be great. With that said, folks, that is it for this week's show. So please do not forget to like the channel, like the videos, subscribe to the channels, listen or watch the other episodes when you can, either on YouTube or the RSS feed, wherever you're getting your podcasts from. Thank you to contributor of the show, LFC Lingerie Fighting Championship. A little bit of wrestling, a little bit of MMA, a whole lot of attractive women wearing a little bit of nothing. Also, folks, don't forget to check out whatamaneuver.net for some Vicious Rants apparel. T-shirts, tanks, women's tees, long sleeves, toddler tees, and baby onesies as well. And do not forget to follow these cats right here on the Twitter. DSB_Ivy, MainEvent_Net, the Main Event Wrestling Network Twitter account, Sergeant Curry Pants 3 Count Thursday, and D-Dryer 1986. And folks, like I always tell y'all, you love me great, you hate me. Shut up and sit down. Fuck yous.